Well, welcome to church. We're glad that you're here this morning at River Falls Assembly. It's definitely a pleasure to be with you this morning. And basically, we're in week four of our current series that we're calling Great Relationships, okay? And so far up to this point in time, we've talked about having great marriages. And we know that takes a lot of work, but we know that that's God's plan, God's design. Marriage is a wonderful, wonderful thing. Two people becoming one, go figure that out. God made that happen in marriage. It's beautiful. And then a couple weeks ago, we talked about having great families, and we talked about certain things that great families do together, okay? By the way, how many people have played a board game since we talked about great families? Okay, okay. Heather's parents were over yesterday, and they were playing cards. I just kind of watched and took a nap on the couch. Well, they played cards together, okay? I didn't want to mess up that dynamic, okay? So anyway, today what we're going to do is we're going to change gears a little, and we're going to talk about great friendships. So please don't raise your hand, but I do want you to think. I don't want you to respond, but just in your heart respond. Out of curiosity, how many people here are here today are able to say this? I have some great friends. Think about that for a minute. Excuse me. How many people are able to say, I have some great friends? Now let's just pause for a moment and think about the influence that those friends have had in our lives. I have great friends. Maybe a picture or faces come into your mind. Think about the influence they've had on your life. And I want to let you know your friends, who you choose as your friends, is a very, very important thing. Because I grew up in a church. Not growing up, but while I was in the Air Force, I was a part of a church. And the youth pastor would say almost every month, she would say this statement. She would say, show me your friends, and I'll show you your future. And I was like, yeah, I'm not sure about that. But as I get older and hopefully wiser, I'm finding out, show me your friends, young man, young lady, and I'll show you your future. I'll show you where you're heading by the people you hang out with. And I used to think that was only true of teenagers, but I'm finding out that that's even true of us adults. Show me your friends, and I'll really show you your future, where you're heading, okay? So I want you to keep that in mind as we talk this morning about the importance of having great relationships. And what we're going to do today as we talk about friendships is we're really going to look at just two simple questions. So you can say to yourself, this can't be long. We're only going to look at two questions. Everybody say, yeah, right, okay? Two questions today. Question number one is, why do we need friends? I have a feeling there's some of you here today. Why do I even need friends, okay? But we're going to tell you why you need friends. And then the second question is, how do we make great friends? How do we make friends? How do we do that? And we're going to look at those things real quick. So first of all, let's begin with question number one this morning is, why do we need great friends? Think about that. Why do we need great friends? And what I'm going to do real quickly is I'm going to just share with you about five reasons why we need great friends. And if you're taking notes, I'd encourage you to write these things down. And if you're not taking notes, I encourage you to write these things down, okay? Is that getting old? Say, let's move on from that joke. It's getting old, okay? Anyway, I encourage you to five reasons why we need great friends. Not just friends, but great friends. Reason number one why you need great friends is for spiritual growth. For spiritual growth. I want to make something very clear to you at the very beginning of this message this morning, and that is that God, the one who created the beauty that we see this morning, who created the heavens and the earth, the cool thing about this God is he wants to have a relationship with you. Let's think about that for a minute. God, the creator, wants to be in relationship with you, his creation. And the only way this is made possible is not by good works, not because we do all the right things, yada, yada, yada. But the only way we can have a relationship with God is how? Through Jesus Christ. I hope we're getting that in this church. We have a relationship with God through Jesus Christ. And this relationship begins the very moment that, number one, we repent of our sins. Very important, repentance of sins. And we turn and we place our trust in Jesus Christ. And when we do these two things, what's happening is we're having a spiritual birth that takes place within our spirit. We used to be dead because of our sins and trespasses. As we repent and trust in Christ, we experience a spiritual birth. We become a Christian. And many people understand that. Many people have taken this beautiful step. It's a great thing. But here's the thing that most people don't grasp a hold of, and that is that spiritual birth is only the beginning. Everybody just say that, the beginning. It's only the beginning of what God desires. See, God's desire is after you have this spiritual birth and you begin this relationship with Christ, His desire is that you continue to grow. You continue to grow. I look out over this congregation today, and I'm pretty sure that there's no one here today that is exactly the same size and weight that you were on the day that you were born. Anyone? Have I missed anyone? No, you were probably born maybe about 10 pounds, 11, 12 pounds. No, ounces. Is it ounces? 7 pounds, okay. You can tell I was on the floor after this took place. Knocked out cold. But seven, how many inches? 19, 20, okay. Nobody's still in that same condition. Why? Because you're healthy. Let's quit laughing. Because you are healthy. Because you're healthy, you do what? Healthy things what? Grow. And that's the same thing in our spiritual life. Healthy believers grow. Is everybody cool with that? Healthy believers grow. Can we just pack it up and go home and have a great Mother's Day? Some of you are like, yeah, let's do that. That'd be awesome. But we're not going to do that. Healthy believers grow. And in Romans 8:29, Paul tells us what the goal of our growth should be. It's on the screen, Romans 8:29. For God knew His people in advance, and He chose them to become like what? His Son. So you started this new spiritual birth. You came to Christ. You repented of your sins. You trusted in Him to be your Savior. That was the beginning. That was your birth. And now what's supposed to be taking place is that we are to be growing to be more and more like Jesus, more loving, more kind, more generous, more forgiving. All the things that you can think of that are positive and good, that are like Christ, are supposed to be taking place in your life, okay? We are to be becoming more like Christ. And here's the question that's been asked for centuries is, how does that happen? How does that happen? Well, there's several ways of how that happens, but there's two primary ways that I want to share with you how spiritual growth happens. Number one is by spending time with God. Do you find it hard to believe that God, your Creator, really desires to spend time with you? I want you to get that not only in your head, but in your heart, that God wants to spend time with you. God wants to spend time with you, with all of us. And the way we spend time with God, just share with me two ways that we spend time with God. You probably know them. Number one, pray. Just have a conversation with God, just as you would have a conversation with a friend. You can talk to God. God speaks back to us. His still small voice in our heart. What's the second way that we grow? Anybody know? We've got to be in the Word. How many people know the Word of God is our spiritual nourishment? Just as you didn't grow without food, it wouldn't have happened. You would have been left behind. You can't grow spiritually without your spiritual nourishment. You got to be in the Word. And we can get legalistic about this and say, did you read your Bible today? How many people read their Bible 7 times this week? That's not our point here. Our point is to graciously share with you that if you're serious about spiritual growth, you got to spend time with the Father. You got to spend time praying. You got to spend time in the Word. His Word is alive. It reveals to us what needs to change in our life, what's good, what's wrong, and we make corrections that will bring growth. But number two is the point that I really want to emphasize in our sermon today, and that is that we grow by spending time with people. I'm not done yet. We grow with spending time with people, and I really didn't know the terminology I wanted to use here. So for lack of better words, I said this. We need to spend time with people who are on fire for God, who love God and who love His ways. What I'm saying is we need to spend time with people that may be further along in their journey with Christ than we are. People who are like-minded, people who are in an all-out pursuit of Jesus. We need to have those type of people in our lives. One way of saying it is we need Christian community. It's very important that we spend time in Christian community. See, Lone Ranger Christianity is not what I don't think it's God's will. I'm pretty sure it's not God's will. But God's will is that we spend time in community. Hebrews says that we need to learn how to stimulate one another to love and to good deeds. We need each other to grow because all week there's people pulling us one way, the direction of the world. And what we need is we need some people in our life that when we're around them, they're pulling us closer to Christ. They're pulling us closer to Christ. One person said it this way, we need VIPs in our life. What is a VIP? A VIP is a very inspirational person. We need a very inspirational people in our lives. These are people that when we spend time with them, they don't bring out the worst in us. And I think we know people in our lives that, yeah, when we spend time with them, it's probably not all that good. But we need those people in our lives that when we spend time with them, they bring out the best. They bring out the best. And after spending time with them, you go home and you say, you know what? I want to be more like Jesus because I see Christ in them. And that is so beautiful. That's so attractive that that's what I want in my life. So with every point I have this morning, I have a question of application. And here's my question of application. We're going to sit here for like 10 seconds in silence. And I want to ask you this question this morning. Do you have any VIPs in your circle of friends? Do you have any of those inspirational people that when you're with them, it's about Jesus? It's not about the things of this world. It's about Christ, and you leave a fresh breath of air. I'm just kind of being nosy this morning. Think about it. Do you have those VIPs in your life? I never even thought of this question till now, but that is, are you a VIP for somebody else? Somebody said we all need a Paul and we all need a Timothy. A Paul is someone that draws you closer to Christ. A Timothy is someone you're taking along on the journey. So I want to be very clear today in my questioning. And I'm talking to people from the youngest to the oldest. Do you have somebody in your life, a friend, that stimulates you to love and good deeds? To be more like Christ. You got it? So write that down. Think about that this week. You need those people. That's why you need great friends. Number two is you need great friends for emotional support. Emotional support. That's right, guys. Even us macho guys, we need emotional support. Because here's the deal. We all get emotional from time to time. God made us emotional beings. That's a part of who we are. Okay, what we need is at times we need somebody when we go through a hard time that comes alongside and brings us help. For example, tomorrow morning, I'm going to get in my car and leave here about 7:30. I'm going to meet up with a friend in Hudson. We'll jump in one car together. We'll make a trip over to Dallas, Wisconsin, a place I've never been, but we'll figure out where it's at. By the way, how many people know where Dallas is? All right, good for you. That's awesome. And why we're going there tomorrow is because we're going to be a part of a minister's sectional meeting. We meet each month with pastors that make up AG churches in the western part of Wisconsin here. And what we do generally in those meetings is about 14, 15 of us, we sit around tables and guys begin to share. Yes, guys begin to share. It's kind of weird, but guys begin to share their victories. And guys begin to share their heartbreaks of ministry and of their personal lives. So it's a really vulnerable time. It took me a while to get used to, but I'm getting used to it. I'm actually starting to like it. And guys are really beginning to unload at our tables the different hurts that come with ministry, with life. And what we do, believe it or not, we bow our heads and we don't say, we'll pray for you. We actually pray for one another. We pray for one another and it gets vocal. There's tears at times. It's a wonderful time. But I can't tell you how many times I've seen guys that walked in with certain body language of heavy burdens, disappointments, but they left. Their shoulders were a little higher. There was a little smile on their face. You knew that, they had the courage to go back and actually go back to their churches for one more week. They could do it. It was awesome. And so there's this difference between night and day. So what's happening in those meetings that's causing such a powerful impact? Well, to answer that question, let's look at Galatians chapter 6, verse 2. Paul writes these words. He's writing to all believers. He's writing to you. He's not just writing to pastors. He's writing to everyone who says, yes, I have faith in Christ. He's saying these words. Let's just read the first line together. Carry each other's burdens. Let's all say that again. Carry each other's burdens. And in this way, you fulfill the law of Christ, which is the law of loving one another. I want to let you know there's some burdens that come into our life that are way too big to carry on your own. And if I were to ask you to raise hands and you were honest, I'd say probably about 75% of you would say, I know exactly what you're talking about. I have not a very good friend. I want to be so real here. I know a friend. I know him, we talk, and he right now he's carrying a burden that is really, really big. And when he comes into my office, he can't help but cry because the burden's so heavy. Because it seems like life as he knows it is going to stop being the way he's known it for a while, and it's going to have to change. How many people know there's some burdens in life that are just so big? And Paul's saying here that we need to help carry each other's burdens. Because what he can't carry alone, if he has one, two, three, or four friends that will help carry that burden, how many people know he's going to be able to make it? Amen? He is going to be able to make it. Would he make it on his own? I'm not sure. But I know he's going to be able to make it because he's got friends that sit there and pray for him, help him to carry the burden, and saying, hey, it's going to be all right. And that's why we need friends. So let me ask you another nosy question. Do you have friends that help you carry your burdens? I would be heartbroken if somebody said, no, I do it all alone. It's not what God desires. Do you have friends that help you carry your burdens? Maybe it's in a small group. Maybe it's a men's ministry. Maybe it's a friend. There's 100 different ways. You have friends that know how to listen. Friends that know how to offer godly counsel. Friends that know how to pray. Do you have friends that you can go to when you have emotional heartache? Do you have friends? I want you to think of that friend's name right now, because I want to make sure you have a friend. So I want you to think of that name. Yeah, that's the person. Yeah, that's the person. That's the person. Reason number three why we need good friends, great friends, is for better health. How many people want to have better health? This is an interesting point that if you were to ask me about this 4 years ago, I wouldn't have known what to say. But I'm figuring some things out as I get older and wiser. Okay? You know, the Bible and science itself has confirmed time and time again that you're going to live a happier, healthier life if you have great friends. Healthier and happier life with good friends. And one of the reasons why is because when we have good friends, we have friends that we can unload with. Yes, we talked about the emotional side, but there's also other sides of our life that we have to be able to unload with. And one of those things, and I know we get very uncomfortable talking about it because a lot of us are in denial. including myself at times. It's called sin. We have a sin that's going on in our life. Don't do it, but raise your hand if you have a sin in your life. Oh yeah, that's me. I love it. No. But you know what? You need those people that you can go to and you can talk about even the ugly sides of your life. I want to let you know I'm 51. The generation, and I think the generations behind me that are even older than me, I grew up in church 3 days a week, or I should say 3 times a week. We didn't do this, but I'm encouraging us to do it now. And I think the millennials, those who are 30 and younger, are doing this, and the rest of us are missing out. What am I talking about? Look at the verse on the screen. James, the brother of Jesus, the half-brother of Jesus, says these words. I want you to get this. This can set you free. This can be a game changer in your life. Listen. James says, confess your sins to, everybody say the next two words together, each other. What? You're kidding me. No. Confess your sins to each other and pray for each other. And listen, this is an interesting part of the verse, so that you may be healed. What? I'm still trying to process this verse, to be honest with you, but I think I'm getting clearer revelation of what this means. If you want to be forgiven of that sin in your life, how many people know you can go to God for forgiveness? Say amen. I think 1 John 1:9 nails it on the head. If we confess our sins to him, he's faithful, just to forgive us of our sins, cleanse us from all wickedness. If we confess our sins to God, yes, there's forgiveness. Part two, though. If you really want to receive healing to a place where you're able to have a better, that you're able to overcome that sin in your life, yes, you go to God and you confess it. Thank the Lord for that. But there's also a time that you need to be able to come and share it with a friend, and everybody's, how many people are getting nervous, right? No, I could never do that. Why? Because we ask each other, how you doing today? Oh, everything's great. Life, living the dream. Actually, it's a nightmare for some people. But do we have those friends that we can really begin to say, you know what? I do have a secret sin in my life. Yada, yada, and you explain what it is. I want to let you know, if you really want to begin to receive healing in your life, yes, step one, go to God, confess it. Say, Lord, I confess with you that this is sin. This is not what you desire for my life. This isn't what I want for my life. But step two, I believe you need to begin to find a friend and you go public. There's something about going public with your sin. Because when I go public with my sin, I know that there's somebody else that knows that, hey, he doesn't have it all together. He's got some messes in his life, and that helps me to stay accountable. Does anybody know what I'm talking about? There's a time when you got to go public. There's friends that you need to have. So here's nosy question number three. Is everybody ready for nosy question number three? Do you have friends that you can get real with? And I would say about 85% of us don't have a clue what I'm... Because to be honest with you, I stink at this. So I don't sit here speaking out of strength today. I sit here speaking out of weakness. We want everybody to think it's okay. Life is great. But do you really have a friend that you can get real with? Do you have friends that you can share your struggles, your sins with? Saying, hey, I have a problem with drinking. I have a problem with gambling. I'm a gossip. I'm a liar. I tell lies. I just can't. Do you have people that you can really go to? Yes, we're forgiven by God by going and confessing, but there's some level of freedom that takes place when we go to a friend and we say, friend, I need your help. I need your help. We're not going to have you raise hands, but I would just say, how many people do you have a friend like this that you can really confide in, even with the junk? Number four, and everybody say, let's move on quickly from that one. I'm sweating bullets. It's time to move on. But I just want to revisit that just one more time to say this. If you want to be set free, that's one thing. I don't all know what goes on in AA. I've never been to an AA meeting, but I do know this, that they begin the day by saying what? Hello, my name is Mike. My name is Mike and I'm a... There's something freeing in that. My name is Mike and I'm a big liar. And I can't get control of my lying. I brought it to God. How many times have I brought it to God? But I need to bring it to a person. Try it. I think you'll experience great victory. Everybody cool with that? Number four, social enjoyment. That's why you need friends. Social enjoyment. We're not merely meant to endure life. I think some of us endure, but God wants us to enjoy our life. Friendships are the bedrock of a satisfying life. I mean, you can make all the money in the world. You can have all the achievements and all the pleasures in life. But guess what? If your relationships stink, guess what? Your life stinks. Regardless of how much is in your wallet, how much is in your savings account, I can't even think of other financial terms. I'm not even on that page. But anyway, all your finances could be great. But if your relationships stink, it just makes life difficult. I've heard it said that the wealthiest people in the world are those who have what? Friends. Friends. Because here's the deal. When you have friends, all those joys that come into your life are doubled. I love that. All your joys are doubled. I was thinking the other day, if I ever won them, you never see this. A guy wins the Masters. I love the Masters. If I could win one golf tournament, that would be it. To put on the green jacket would be awesome. Some of you are like, what are you talking about, green jacket? It's an award, okay? But you never see those guys walk off of the 18th hole on the final day after they won the Masters and no one's there. No, what you see is you see a guy that sinks the putt, that wins it, seals the deal. What does he do? He walks out to friends. He walks out to family. He walks out with people that... they're going to party together. They're going to have joy together. I didn't get here on my own, man. Thanks for my dad, my friends. I love it. I love this kid that won, Jordan Spieth, that won the Masters just a couple weeks ago. They showed three of his college friends in the crowd. We're all there like, Jordan, yeah. Share the money with... No, you have friends. Because when you have friends, that doubles the joy. When you have a victory in your life, it's great to go and say, let me tell you something. But on the same hand, when you have sorrows, it cuts those sorrows in half. Because you can give those sorrows to a good friend that will help you through the difficult times. A great verse, Romans 12:5 says, be happy with those who are happy. One translation says, rejoice with those who rejoice and weep with those who weep. That's why we need good friends, is people that say, yeah, I made it. I couldn't believe it. I made it through college. And I'm not in terrible debt. I made it through college and we rejoice together. But when there's times of weeping, we also weep together. So meddling question number four is, do you have friends that you enjoy life with? Do you have friends that you can laugh with and share the sorrows with? Do you have people in your life that you do life together with? And I would think most of us on that one, that's an easy one. Absolutely. I got those friends. It's a wonderful thing. Number five, and we need to move on quickly. We need friends to help us reach our goals. We're never going to fulfill the goals that we have in life by ourselves. Listen to this. If we can fulfill those goals by ourselves, your goal is too puny. It's weak. But I'm talking about a big dream. If you're going to fulfill a big dream, a big goal in your life, it's going to take having other people in your life to get the job done. It takes a team to fulfill the dream. Everybody say, it takes teamwork to make the dream work. And everybody said, gag me. Okay, let's move on. Okay? And you need friends. You need people in your life that are going to help you to accomplish this goal. You need a supportive team of people around you. If you have a big goal, you need support. You need support. You need support. What is your dream? Is it big enough that you can't do it? I could never do this on my own. I need other people. You need to have those type of dreams that God places in your heart that are so big, so humongous, that unless I have other people show up, it's just not going to get done. Do you have those type of dreams? That's why you need great friends, is to help you to accomplish those dreams. I was thinking, for example, some of the dreams I have are usually church-centered. And some of my dreams is I need a team to accomplish the dream. If we're going to have a thriving men's ministry, it's going to take a team. If we're going to have effective kids' ministries in Awana, it's going to take a team. Every Awana leader said, amen. If we're going to be effective in Awana, it's going to take a team. Amen? By the way, if you were in Awana this year, it just ended Wednesday night, and you're just catching your breath, I want you to stand right now, and I want to just thank you right now. If you weren't a part of Awana this year, come on, don't be shy. Get up, get up. Thank you. That's what I'm talking about. We have this dream for this church to have thriving kids' ministries. It's not going to be just me. I don't believe in cloning. It's not going to happen, you know. It's just clone Mike 15 times and see if it works. It probably won't even work then, okay? But it takes everybody. You need friends to reach your goals. You need friends to help you reach your goals. How many people, let me ask a meddling question here real quick. How many people have big goals for your life? Don't raise your hand, but think about it. Do you have a big goal? Do you have a big goal? I hope you have a big goal. I hope you have something that gets you up in the morning, your feet ready to hit the ground, go after it. Do you have a big goal? My second question is, do you have friends that can help you reach those goals? Do you have friends that can come along and encourage you? Maybe they have different talent sets, different personalities, but you need friends on your team to make you accomplish the goals. So here's the deal as we wind up this morning. We need friends for spiritual growth. You don't grow alone in isolation. You need a spiritual friend that's pushing you, encouraging you, building you up in Christ. You need it for emotional support. You need it for better health, social enjoyment, and reaching our goal. You need friends. That's the way God designed us, to have people in our life that make a difference, that make an impact. But here's the question I think that's the most important part of this message, and that is, how do we make great friends? Because some people say, all five of those meddling questions, I had a name, I had a face, I had somebody that's going through life. And then there's about maybe two of those questions, three that were left, where people were like, oh, I don't have anyone, Pastor Mike. I'm kind of out there on an island. I'm all by myself. And to be honest with you, if the truth be, I'm hurting inside this morning because of lack of friends. So how do you make great friends? Well, the answer is really quite simple. It's not easy, but it's simple. And that is the answer to that question are found in the words of Jesus Christ. I want to read a verse to you this morning as we close. Matthew 7:12. This is how you make good friends. Is it on the screen? Everybody read this with me. Do for others what you would like them to do for you. Everybody repeat that with me. Do for others what you would like them to do for you. And he says, this summarizes all that is taught in the law and the prophets. What's Jesus saying here is he's simply saying, treat other people the way you want to be treated. So here's how this applies to friendship. If you want to have great, deep, meaningful, lifelong relationships, friendships, it's simple. And here's how it is. Be the friend that you would like to have. I want to say that one more time. Be the friend that you would like to have. Because here's the deal. You're not going to have those kind of deep friendships unless you're that kind of person. I want you to listen to my next statement very clear. It's powerful. This is worth all the money you put in the offering this morning. you will attract what you are, not what you want. Some of you need to write that down, put it on the mirror in the morning. I have found this out in my life. You will attract what you are, not what you want. You don't attract in life what you want. You attract those people that are what you are. Okay? If you're a shallow person, let me speak to all the shallow people. That was a joke. You were supposed to laugh. If you are a shallow person, guess what kind of people you're going to attract? Come on, it's not real hard. Just shallow. There you go. All right, great job. If you're a loving person, just take a guess. What kind of people do you think you'll attract? Loving. Is there any gossips out here this morning? If you're a gossip, guess who you're going to attract? You got it. You guys are sharp people. A plus. If you're bitter, you're going to attract other people who are bitter, who complain about everything. That's going to be your circle, friend. Doesn't that sound like a lot of fun? Let's get together and just complain about all the things in life that are wrong. Let's bash on our spouses, our church, that Pastor Mike. That guy is messed up. Let's just have a great time together. Here's the deal. You attract who you are. How do you make good friends? Great friends. You become the person by God's grace, by being intentional, you become the kind of person that you want to have in your life. If I want to have people in my life that speak words of encouragement to me, you know what I need to do? I need to text them. I love that new way of doing things. I need to call them. I need to look them in the face. I need to be a person of encouragement because I want encouraging people in my life. Who doesn't say amen? I mean, who does say amen? You guys passed the test. You guys are on the ball, okay? But here's the point. You're going to attract who you are, not what you want. And the first step to friendship for some of us today needs, you need to come out of this room and say, God, this is what I would really want in a relationship. God, when Pastor Mike talked about having somebody there for them in times of emotional grief, God, how many times have I been there for somebody else? You see what I'm talking about here. Pastor Mike talked about being that type of friend that rejoices when other people rejoice. And Lord, I find out that I'm getting jealous when good things happen to people. I don't want that. Lord, help me to learn how to. I am so happy that you're celebrating 30 years of marriage. Congratulations. Those are the friends that I'll just be real vulnerable with you. And I don't know what it is. I'm not even sure what I'm saying here. My last birthday, it was really nice what you guys did for me. It was very nice to hear people say happy birthday. And Lord, I'm thankful for those people in my life. Help me to be that person that's able to say happy birthday. Do wonderful acts of generosity for other people. Is everybody getting what I'm saying? We all want these great relationships. We all need these great relationships. But it doesn't start outside, it starts inside. So my encouragement today as we leave is say, Lord, help me. Because inside I'm really kind of naturally nasty, negative. God, help me to be more loving. Holy Spirit, I pray for your presence. The fruit of your presence in my life will be love. Help me to become that person that knows how to be thankful, generous, all the things above. It starts with you. So don't leave here today saying, well, I need that type of friend. I sure wish I had that type of friend. Lord, why don't you give me that type of friend? There's nobody like that in this church, God. Why? I know you guys too well. I know me too well. Look in the mirror today when you go home and say, Lord, may it begin. May it begin with me. And here's what Paul says in his letter to the church in Galatians. Do not be deceived. God is not mocked. Whatsoever man soweth, he will reap. So if you want great friends, I encourage you to leave this place today and say, God, help me to be a great friend. Amen? So let's bow our heads this morning. Let's just have a moment with God. How many people would raise their hand today and say, you know what, I want to be a better friend? Is anybody here who says, I just want to be a better friend? I do. I want to be a better friend. Let's pray. Father, for all those who have raised their hands, maybe some didn't really have the courage to do so, I just pray, God, that you'll begin this work in our heart. It all originates in the heart. That's the central part of who we are, our hearts. So, Lord, I just pray that you do a wonderful work in our hearts, that you would soften our hearts. Holy Spirit, that you would dwell in our hearts. And that you would help us to become the person that we want to be. And, Lord, I just pray that today for everyone, that we'll be on this journey of really being intentional about, I'm going to be that way because that's what I would want. And Lord, help us to do it with a purity of motive. Help us to do it with the right way. And Lord, just help us today. In Jesus' name.